Dr. William Luther Pierce, the year 2000, the Chinese invasion.
Hello. If you have listened often to my broadcasts, you probably have heard me say more than once that we must oppose the enemies of our people only by legal means at this time. That no matter how much we are tempted to ignore this warning, and no matter how morally justified violence or illegality may be, we must swallow our rage and restrain ourselves. And the reason we must not resort to illegality is simply that we cannot win an armed conflict against the government. The disparity in forces at this time is too great. We are too heavily outgunned. Sometimes, however, the temptation becomes almost overwhelming. Imagine this hypothetical situation. An enemy nation, Red China, say, launches a surprise attack on the United States. With precision nuclear missile strikes, the enemy forces take out our centers of command and control all across the United States. At the same time, Chinese immigrants in America execute a plan which has been carefully prepared in conjunction with blacks, Asians, Mexican mestizos, homosexual groups, and feminist and leftist leaders to begin rioting in every American city, tying up local police forces and paralyzing local traffic and communications. Just a few hours after the missile strike, and at the height of the confusion and disorder, 100,000 trained and armed Chinese cadres crossed the border into Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California from dozens of concealed bases in Mexico and began fanning out toward America's urban centers in fast-moving motorized columns. All that was required for that operation was a few million dollars in bribes for corrupt Mexican officials to let the Chinese assemble in their camps south of the border and wait quietly for the signal to move. As 1,000 or so of the Chinese cadres, all of whom speak English, arrive at each urban center, they quickly occupy all police and government buildings. In some areas, California for example, the Chinese Reds are welcomed with open arms and handed the keys to the cities by the local politicians. In other places, the element of surprise, combined with their ruthless use of firepower and the cooperation of Chinese agents already in place, quickly gives the upper hand to the Chinese. Within 36 hours, they have established a network of control across the whole country. Hundreds of thousands of other Chinese cadres then begin disembarking from transport ships whose arrival at U.S. ports has been timed carefully. Orders go out from the Chinese to the leaders of the rioters in the cities to stop the looting and burning immediately. Acting on instructions from the Chinese, the politicians go on television and tell the American people that they can go back to work, that an international operation had been necessary to restore order, that the temporary unpleasantness is over, and that there have been fewer than 1 million casualties. Within the next few days, the American people are reassured repeatedly on television by well-known sports figures and Hollywood celebrities that everything is back to normal. The shopping malls are open. The welfare checks are being mailed out. All of the ball games and soap operas and other entertainment shows are being broadcast on their regular schedules, and people can go anywhere they want and do anything just as before, with a couple of minor exceptions. Citizens in possession of firearms or ammunition have 72 hours to turn them in at the nearest police station, no questions asked. And hate speech is henceforth prohibited. Citizens in possession of any books or other printed or electronically recorded materials which might be considered to be hateful should take them to their nearest police station immediately. Specific guidelines will be published later, but for now, hate speech is anything which is sexist, homophobic, or racist, especially anything which might be considered as anti-Chinese. An 800 telephone number is displayed continuously at the bottom of television screens, which viewers can call at any time to report persons they suspect of having firearms or hate speech materials. Now, this imaginary scenario I have described is greatly oversimplified. Even with the advanced missile technology the Israelis recently sold to the Chinese after stealing it from us, crippling the ability of the United States to respond to a Chinese attack would not be so easy. Nor should we believe that America's various anti-white minorities can be so easily organized and coordinated as I have described. Anyway, unrealistic or not, I just want you to imagine this scenario for a moment and then ask yourself the question, how should a patriot respond to such a situation? How should you respond? Should you behave in the way I have urged you to behave under the actual circumstances which prevail in America today and abstain from any violent or illegal activity? Should you obey the orders issued by the Chinese occupation authorities on the grounds that they have you outgunned? You would understand the seriousness of the situation, of course. You would understand that having abolished the First and Second Amendments, the Chinese occupiers eventually would eliminate any other vestiges of American freedom which might get in their way. In discussing the situation with your neighbors, you certainly would hear the argument that Americans really hadn't lost anything and that it was a good thing the Chinese had come. You would be told that the First Amendment was never intended to protect hate speech, and that the recent riots by minorities were proof that we needed to be more careful not to let people say or write offensive things that just made it harder for all of us to live together peacefully in a multicultural society. As for the Second Amendment, just look at all the people who had been shot while attempting to protect their property from looters during the rioting. If no one had been allowed to have a gun, those people would still be alive, robbed and raped, perhaps, but still alive. Yes, it was a good thing the Chinese had come and rounded up the guns and outlawed hate speech. Now we would all be safer and life would be more pleasant. And of course, that is exactly the line everyone is hearing from the media. The TV celebrities and sports stars and politicians are saying just what most of your neighbors are saying, which, with the exception of the occasional references to the Chinese, is pretty much what they were saying before the Chinese came. Namely, that the First Amendment really doesn't give anyone the right to say things that might hurt the feelings of other people or cause social friction, and that the Second Amendment is just about government-regulated militias. It doesn't really give private citizens the right to have firearms. One new thing on television is the reports of people arrested for hate speech, namely for saying hateful things against the Chinese occupation authorities. The media commentators talk about these hate criminals with the same disapproving tone of voice and facial expressions one might expect them to use when talking about serial killers or child molesters. Judges are setting bail at more than $1 million and are telling the media that they intend to deal in the harshest possible way with people charged with hate speech. So again, what should you do? If you obey the laws, what can you do? As a normally peaceful, non-violent sort of person, your natural inclination is to try to rouse people against the Chinese takeover of America. You feel an urge to stand on the street corner and shout, "Hey folks, wake up! We've been invaded! Our liberty is being taken away from us! Let's organize and chase the Chinese out of our country!" But if you try that, you'll be arrested. The media will denounce you as a hater. Most of your neighbors will say it serves you right, that they want no haters in their community. Some local Christian minister will form a committee of reconciliation to undo the damage your hate has done to Chinese-American relations. And the local church ladies will hold a candlelight vigil for the same purpose. And you will have accomplished nothing. For guidance, you turn to historical precedents of resistance to an occupation government. You think about the French underground, the so-called resistance during the Second World War. They assassinated some German soldiers and carried out some sabotage of German military equipment. But much more than that, they terrorized their own countrymen in order to make them afraid to collaborate with the Germans. If a French judge ordered the punishment of a Frenchman for an offense against the Germans, then that judge might be assassinated by the resistance. Of course, it was after the German forces had left France at the end of the war that the resistance really went to work, murdering thousands of Frenchmen who had been accused of collaboration. Certainly, when you see some judge on the TV news announcing that he intends to be especially hard on anyone committing a hate crime against the Chinese occupation, you feel an overwhelming conviction that he deserves to be assassinated, that he deserves to be shot down by a sniper as he leaves his home in the morning, that he deserves to have his legs blown off by a bomb when he turns on his automobile ignition, that he deserves to have someone in a crowded shopping mall brush by him and shove a knife into one of his kidneys. And you feel the same way about the media commentators and the sports stars and the Hollywood celebrities and the politicians who also are telling the public that it is right to punish people for hate speech against the Chinese. You are absolutely certain that killing any and all of these collaborators is morally justified. You are convinced that if they are not killed, and others who might be inclined to collaborate are not made afraid of collaborating, America will be lost forever. But what do you actually do? Certainly, some other patriots will fight beside you, but you are still outgunned by the Chinese and their collaborators, because it is clear that most of your fellow Americans are simply lemmings in the grip of the television propaganda, and that whoever controls the propaganda will control the lemmings. Do you begin assassinating judges and politicians and preachers anyway because it is the right thing to do from a moral and patriotic standpoint? Or do you fight in some other way? Okay, back to the real world now. No Chinese takeover, just America as we know it today. But you know, the questions we just asked are not academic. The Chinese invasion was imaginary, but the decisions faced by patriots in that scenario will be all too real very soon. The project now at the top of the agenda of every major Jewish organization in America and of their collaborators in the Clinton government is the outlawing of what they call hate speech. They will deny it if you confront them. They will say, oh, we are the biggest supporters of civil rights in America. America has been the land of opportunity for us, and we appreciate more than anyone else the freedom we have here. We especially believe in free speech. But that is simply a lie. They know that if they openly announced that they are in favor of abolishing the Bill of Rights so that white Americans cannot oppose their plans for America, they would have trouble. The lemmings and the politicians and the preachers and the soccer moms would go along, of course, but the independent-minded minority would raise hell. So the people who want to criminalize politically incorrect speech lie and go about reaching their goal by indirect means. I'll read you an excerpt from a letter sent last week by the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles to politicians and liberal leaders all over Germany. Quote, I am writing to you directly to request your immediate action to correct the business practice of BarnesandNoble.com of selling hate literature in the Federal Republic of Germany. Recently, a researcher working in Germany for the Simon Wiesenthal Center ordered the following titles by way of BarnesandNoble.com: Mein Kampf, The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, The Turner Diaries, and Hunter. Further, BarnesandNoble.com then solicited our researcher to buy an additional 5 books, including White Power, authored by the late notorious head of the American Nazi Party, George Lincoln Rockwell. Among the other books proposed for sale is Serpent's Walk, published by the virulent hate group, the National Alliance. End of quote. This attempt by the Wiesenthal Center to prevent the sale of certain books in Germany is of some interest to me because my company, National Vanguard Books, distributes every one of the titles that the Wiesenthal Center indicated in its letter that it wants banned. Furthermore, I am the publisher of 4 of the titles, and I wrote 2 of them myself. The fact is that the Wiesenthal Center and other Jewish groups have been working openly in Germany to accomplish the same thing they are doing in a sneakier and more deceptive way in America. They succeeded years ago in pressuring Germany's politicians into enacting laws criminalizing politically incorrect speech. That is, to make Germans subject to arrest and prosecution for saying or writing anything the Jews don't like. Politically incorrect books cannot be published or sold in Germany. But the Jews are complaining now that Germans still are able to purchase my books on the Internet through major American distributors such as Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. Actually, they already pressured Amazon.com a couple of months ago into halting its Internet sales of Mein Kampf to German customers. But that was just the camel's nose under the tent, to use an apt expression. Having succeeded in outlawing all speech in Germany they don't like, they are working now on making it impossible for Germans to purchase any of the books I publish or distribute, including works of fiction such as my novels. Germany is just an example. The Jews behave in essentially the same way in every country in Europe. Everywhere they have pushed for bans on so-called hate speech, and having gotten those bans, they then have pushed to expand them to cover every sort of speech they don't like. And they are trying to do in America exactly what they have done in Germany and elsewhere. They will lie to you about it, but believe me, the Jews in Europe are the same Jews we have over here. They have the same aims, and they work together. The Jews and their feminist and homosexual and liberal collaborators in America do want to abolish both the First and Second Amendments to the U.S. Constitution, for a starter. I have in front of me a news item from last week. It's datelined August 23rd from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. The first line of the story is, and I quote, Jewish groups are joining in a last-ditch effort to push through federal hate crimes legislation before the 106th U.S. Congress is history, end quote. The article lists a number of the Jewish organizations pushing for the new hate crime laws, and all of the big ones are there. The American Jewish Committee, the American Jewish Congress, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, Jewish War Veterans, Jewish Council for Public Affairs, Jewish Labor Committee, National Jewish Democratic Council, Jewish Women International, Women's Zionist Organization of America, etc. And lest you think that what the Jews have in mind is simply a new federal law against lynching, I'll read to you from an article which appeared the very next day in the very Jewish Washington Post. This is datelined August 24th, and the headline reads, Hate Crime Charged in Defacing of Statue. The first line of the story is, and I quote, Annapolis police have arrested a man and charged him with hate crimes in connection with the desecration of a statue of renowned black legislator Aris T. Allen, end quote. To summarize the rest of the story, a 36-year-old Maryland man is accused of placing a white pillowcase over the black statue's head. The pillowcase had eye cutouts so that it looked like a Ku Klux Klan hood. The accused also is said to have used duct tape to attach small Confederate flags to the statue's hands. Now, to ordinary folks like you and me, that may sound like the sort of childish prank that might lead to a vandalism charge. But believe me, it's no prank to the hate speech crowd. They want blood. Look at the word the Washington Post writer used. Desecration. A white man puts a pillowcase over the head of a black statue, thereby failing to show the solemn respect owed to the black statue by all whites. And it's not only desecration, it's also a hate crime with all sorts of additional penalties. I'm not joking. The full story is in the August 24th issue of the Washington Post. I'll be talking much more in the future about this Jewish campaign to abolish our Bill of Rights. I'll give you many more specific examples. For now, just take my word for it. The Jews and their feminist, homosexual, minority allies are working day and night to condition the American people to accept hate speech laws of the same sort they have succeeded in imposing on most other white countries, so that anyone who contradicts their party line can be imprisoned and silenced. And I assure you, they will succeed in getting the legislation they want in America. Al Gore already has told them openly that he's for it. And you can bet your bottom dollar that George Bush will tell them the same thing secretly if he wants to be elected. And as long as they can keep the ball games coming and the shopping malls full, the majority of the American people certainly won't stand in their way. Do you think that our cops or our military or our judicial system will help us save our freedom or shield us from tyranny? If so, you'd better think again. The Jews and their friends have spent the past 50 years politicizing our cops and our soldiers. They'll do whatever they're told to do by the politicians without a second thought, no matter how atrocious. And as for our judicial system, just remember that a judge is a cross between a lawyer and a politician. So finally, I do believe that it behooves every real patriot to begin thinking now about what he will do in the event of a Chinese invasion. Begin thinking, begin making plans, begin getting ready, because it is coming. But there won't be any Chinese involved. Thanks for being with me again today.